We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
How we doing, everybody? It's spring. It's January. It's sunny. We've got a sick amount of football. Doesn't get better than this. But I'm here on the radio, so maybe it could get better than this. I'm here until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The great Chris Moore will take over then. You do have to admit, though, I am thrilled that it's going to be 65 degrees. I'm thrilled that it's sunny outside. You got to feel a little bit dirty in the middle of January having a day like this. Just a little bit. Because it's not supposed to happen this way. So enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. But there is something that doesn't feel right about this whole thing. You know, if this was March, you could say to yourself, all right, well, we're almost spring. You know, this is kind of like a preview of what we're about to get. It's January 11th. It's the dead of winter. Beningo is playing golf tomorrow. Rascona, on the other side, is playing golf today. Like, that's not supposed to happen in the middle of January. But nevertheless, enjoy it while it lasts. We'll talk a lot of football today. Obviously, the fallout continues. The excitement continues of the Giants hiring Joe Judge. A great weekend of football, or at least what we hope is a great weekend of football with divisional weekend. We'll talk about every single game ad nauseum. Bob Glauber will join me a little bit later on. A couple of quick thoughts about the basketball last night. First of all, it was a huge win for my team. For the Knicks, it was just, I mean, if you're a Knicks fan last night, you probably wanted to shut the TV off. First of all, when you're down Julius Randle, when you're down Marcus Morris, when Kevin Knox has forgotten always to play basketball, and your defense is showing zero resilience. You know, usually this team can defend the paint, but Mitchell Robinson got beat up last night. I mean, Jackson Hayes was bullying him around a little bit. But then they couldn't defend the three-point line all night. It was a horrid defensive effort by the New York Knicks, and nobody wants to hear, well, they had a long West Coast trip, you come back, you have tired legs. Nobody wants to hear it. And sure, they're down, guys. This is not the greatest team in the world, so when you take away your best player in Marcus Morris and a guy who's supposed to be your best player in Julius Randle, and he certainly has played a lot better recently, but right now he's dealing with a personal issue, you're obviously way behind the eight ball. But what really has to depress you last night is that Kevin Knox stinks. And I try to be cautious and conservative before I say a player is a bust. You know, we've talked about this in the NFL. We talk about it in the NBA, to a degree with baseball when guys first come up. You don't want to immediately say, boy, this guy's a bust. And I always think in baseball of Dustin Pedroia, to bring the baseball fan involved in this discussion, who's probably bored by the NBA. Remember when Pedroia was first called up by the Red Sox, did nothing for the first few months, and I think there were a lot of people that said, oh, this guy's not any good, send him down. He's 5'7", he can't hit, and Pedroia obviously put together a great career. I've been ultra patient with a guy like Frank Ntilikina. I think we've seen that coaching plays a big part in developing young talent. And I'm patient about R.J. Barrett. I mean, look, R.J. Barrett, if you're ranking all the rookies this season, he's probably 13th or 14th. Ja Morant is clearly the rookie of the year. Guys like Kendrick Nunn, who was never even thought about in the lottery, is having a really good year. Jarrett Culver is having a really good year. And R.J. Barrett has not played nearly as well as you would hope as a Knicks fan. But I'm not calling him a bust. I don't think any Knicks fan is. But I'm getting close to calling Kevin Knox a bust. I'm sorry. And now we have another coaching change where you've got a guy who we're still kind of trying to figure out in Mike Miller. But when you watch Kevin Knox play basketball right now, if you're a Knicks fan, you're wondering, what the hell did they ever see in this guy? This is a big moment and a big few weeks and months for Kevin Knox. It doesn't mean you're going to cut him. It doesn't mean you're going to get rid of him. But he was a lottery pick. And the expectations are that you're going to see some growth. And if anything, we've seen the guy going backwards. He can't defend me. That's problem number one. But offensively, he's a mess. And I think his confidence has taken a big hit. But here's the other thing about the Knicks. Because forget about the game. They stink. They got blown out by the Pelicans. The report yesterday that they made a call about Andre Drummond. Now, making a phone call is never bad, right? There's nothing wrong with a phone call. You could make a phone call about anything. Just like John Mara should have made a phone call to Bill Belichick saying, hey, what's your contract status again? Like, it doesn't hurt. But here is why conversations about Andre Drummond, who I like. I have nothing against Andre Drummond. I think he can be a very useful basketball player on a good team. But here's why a phone call about Andre Drummond makes less than 0% sense. First of all, number one, you have to give up assets to get him. The Knicks are in no position to give up assets. But let's say the Pistons were basically handing you Andre Drummond. Now, for those of you that don't watch a lot of Andre Drummond, great rim protector, tremendous rebounder, incredible size. His offensive game has gotten even a little bit better. Really good player, but he's a dinosaur in today's NBA. Has no three-point shot, can't spread the floor, but could Andre Drummond have a role as a third player on a really good team? Sure, yeah. I mean, who couldn't use a behemoth 6'11 body that can defend the paint and can out-rebound anybody? Sure. But is Andre Drummond a max contract player? Not in today's NBA, he's not. Sorry. And I like Andre Drummond. He's not a max player. And the Knicks, if you look at their roster and say something good about the New York Knicks. You know what one of the first things I would say about the New York Knicks, despite last night? I'd say Mitchell Robinson. I'd say, they got this cheap former second round pick. He changes games defensively. He's long. He can defend anyone. He can defend the paint. And who knows about his offensive game? He's only been in the league for 2 years. He didn't play in college. Who knows? Maybe he'll develop a three-point shot. Drummond plays Mitchell Robinson's position, and they cannot be on the floor together. That would never work. So, what are you doing with Andre Drummond, who's 5 years older than Mitchell Robinson? First of all, the Pistons are going to ask for Mitchell Robinson. Really? You're going to trade him? You're going to trade a guy who's 5 or 6 years younger, who's a hell of a lot cheaper, and whose game is still not completely evolved for Andre Drummond? It's less than stupid. Now, I'm not calling the Knicks stupid. They haven't done anything, right? They haven't traded for the guy. They haven't signed him as a free agent. They literally made a phone call, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with a phone call. But there's no end to this that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, if you're the Yankees and you call up the Angels about Mike Trout, it's just a phone call, but who knows? Maybe the end game is Mike Trout is a Yankee, and you're happy about it. What is the end game with Andre Drummond? He does not fit where the Knicks are. He doesn't fit with what they have. He doesn't fit anything. And that's all I've got to say about that. Now, you can hear it in my voice. You hear a little excitement. You'll hear a little giddiness. Well, my hope, and I've said this way too often in my life, and I've been wrong, but my hope is that January 10th, 2020, was the season-turning game for the Brooklyn Nets. And you know what's funny about the NBA? And for those who hate the NBA, I will make this comment, and it will frustrate you, especially if you're a hockey fan. Sometimes the difference between winning and losing an NBA game, and trust me, this isn't meant as a cliche because I'll back it up with fact, is who wants it more. Now, normally that's a cliche, who wants it more? Everybody's trying to win. No. There was a game a couple of weeks ago against the Minnesota Timberwolves in which the Nets had about a five-point lead with a few minutes to go, and they were out-hustled for a loose ball. There was a ball going out of bounds, and there was just hustle that saved it for Minnesota, turned it into an extra possession, turned it into a bucket. And that was the moment I knew the Nets were going to lose that game. Last night, the opposite happened. They are playing a team right now that's better than them in the Miami Heat. They came all the way back from 12 down in the first half. In late third quarter, Donnan Musa, who has not normally getting consistent minutes, made a hustle play that led to a Timofey Luwawa-Cabarrot 3. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's Joe Harris fighting for an offensive rebound. Sometimes in the NBA, and I could see why this comment is infuriating to those who don't love the NBA the way I do, but sometimes it's as simple as, are you going to out-hustle your opponent? Because if you do, you'll win. The Brooklyn Nets won last night because finally, over the course of this horrific seven-game losing streak, simply put, they wanted it more. They also had big shots. Caris LeVert's step back three. They made their free throws down the stretch. The Heat, for some reason, didn't foul Spencer Dinwiddie, who they should have because he's a mess from the line. And it felt like We'll see what it turns into. It felt like a season-turning win for the Nets last night. Here's the problem, though. They do play Atlanta Sunday. After that, they have a stretch of five straight games against not just playoff teams, but really good teams. Teams like the Utah Jazz, teams like the Philadelphia 76ers, teams like the Los Angeles Lakers, teams like the Milwaukee Bucks. Those are all teams that are better than the Nets right now, and teams that they all may lose to. So even if they win Sunday, it's very conceivable they go have a five-game losing streak. Just being honest. But last night was a positive night if you're a Net fan. It was a negative night if you're a Knick fan. Now, as far as this football is concerned this weekend, I'm ecstatic. I've said with Joe throughout the week that the game that jumps out at me as most exciting would be the Seattle-Green Bay game because you've got the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You've got a Packer team that in a weird way has been fascinating this season. They win 13 games, but nobody feels blown away by what they've accomplished. Their offense has not clicked the way it has in years past yet. Look at the win total. Aaron Rodgers has not had a typical Aaron Rodgers season, but again, look at the win-loss record. And you face a Seattle team that grinded out a win against the Eagles last week. They didn't run the football all that well. They made enough plays defensively. They made enough big plays to get off the field defensively. And Russell Wilson, when need be, made the big play, whether it was with his legs or with his arms, specifically to DK Metcalf. And I think DK Metcalf, again, remains a big factor. Because the Packers, to their credit, they don't have a lot of weaknesses. Look, when you win 13 games, as ugly as it is, you don't have a lot of obvious weaknesses. We know the difference defensively with the free agents that they went out and signed, and Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, who have had all-world seasons. And that's the key to free agency. That's what Dave Gettleman's got to do. Because those two guys were not premier elite players upon ending free agency. They have played like premier elite players. But one of the biggest weaknesses of Green Bay is getting beat by the big play. And last week it was DK Metcalf's kind of star performance. And I think he's going to have to do it again if Seattle's going to pull off what would be a mild upset against Green Bay. The Kansas City game, the thing about the Houston Texans that is so tough to take seriously. And I'm honest, and I said this all week with Joe, I make my picks as a football fan, just what I think is going to happen. My stomach is not going to have serious rooting interest this weekend. I don't think I'm going to place any bets. I think I'm going to keep the shekels to myself. And so, and what's good about that is that Saturday night or late afternoon today, when this thing kicks off at San Francisco, Minnesota, I just put my feet up and watch and just enjoy myself, and who wins. And I don't really have a serious rooting interest now that the evil New England Patriots are gone. Now that they're gone, what's to worry about? But it's very difficult with the Texans to take them serious. First of all, last week, they got off to such a terrible start against Buffalo, and that's kind of been their resume throughout the season. They don't get off to great starts. I was reading a stat about them that they have not scored an opening drive touchdown all year. At least the first time they did it was week 17, and it was A.J. McCarron, a quarterback. Their offense is extremely different if Will Fuller is playing and not playing. He's still dealing with that groin issue. And defensively, the Texans have been mediocre all season long. Can they actually slow down an offense that features a quarterback that it feels like people have forgotten about? An offense that features such scary weapons like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Even Mecole Hardman, who they don't throw the football too much, but talk about a home run hitter. Can this Texan defense get off the field on third down? The Chiefs have been so good at extending drives with big plays on third down. And one of the big keys is they've got an all-world quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. I have a tough time believing that the Houston Texans are capable of walking into Kansas City and beating this well-rested, well-oiled machine in Kansas City who's coming to the playoffs playing incredibly well. But I have an even tougher time believing that the Tennessee Titans can go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens all season long just jump on opponents. They've outscored teams in the first quarter this year. This was mind-boggling, but makes sense considering they've won 12 in a row and makes sense considering they're 14-2. And it certainly makes sense because they've beaten a lot of teams up. The Ravens have blown out a lot of teams this season. They have outscored their opponents in the first quarter 128-31. And look, that's going to be the key because especially with the way Tennessee is built, they cannot play from behind against this Raven team. You can't be chasing points against the Ravens. We remember the Jets chasing points against the Ravens in a game in which, you know, on Friday, because it was a Thursday night game, Joe and I both said, you know what? We actually had, you know, the Jets didn't play terrible in this game. But they didn't convert every opportunity that they had in the red zone against Baltimore. And that's going to be so important. And you can't play from behind. Because one thing that's obvious from last week to this week, as the Titans go from going to Gillette, beating a Patriot team, to now having to go to Baltimore and beating the best team in the NFL, is that they are going to need more from Ryan Tannehill, and they're going to ask more from Ryan Tannehill. You know, one defense about Tannehill last week, they didn't ask a lot out of him. Now, that was the Derrick Henry show, and that was their defense not breaking, and their defense forcing the Patriots off the field constantly, forcing Bill Belichick late in the game on a fourth down to punt as opposed to letting Tom Brady make a big play. That's how Tennessee won. Tennessee is not going to hold the Baltimore Ravens to 13 points in this game. And Tennessee can't win this football game if it's merely handing it off to Derrick Henry as good as he is. Ryan Tannehill has to make plays. Now, to Tannehill's credit, he was making plays. It's a part of why Tennessee is here. It's a part of why Tannehill emerged as one of the great stories in the second half of this season. It's a part of why he took this job away from Marcus Mariota. Ryan Tannehill played great. He played great down the stretch. A little bit of an indictment on Adam Gase, but whatever. I'm not going to make this about him. And he made plays he had to in the game against New England. What is going to make this such a challenging upset bid is he's going to have to make multiple big plays to beat this Raven team. And speaking of quarterbacks having to make plays, and it's a little bit different, but has some similarities, and that's Kirk Cousins with the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins is going to have to make plays. And what makes that so dangerous, because the Niners are still sort of underrated, I'm starting to show them some love. It took all year, but I'm starting to believe in San Francisco, is they can get to the quarterback. When you look at Bosa and Armstead and Dee Ford is going to play in this game, that's the danger for Kirk Cousins, especially on those play-action passes. He's going to have to make big plays too if the Vikings are going to pull off that upset against San Francisco. But I certainly go into this weekend feeling as if the NFC is a little bit more wide open than the AFC. I would be very surprised. And the beauty is this is the NFL, so surprises should be expected, especially after what happened last week to the Saints. But I would be surprised if we are not looking at a Kansas City-Baltimore AFC championship game, while in the NFC, it feels like anything can happen. But either way, it is a weekend stock full of football. I warn everybody, just in case you forgot, because this is the first time they're doing this, Sunday is going to be a little bit different for all of us. Because if you are obsessed with the NFL, if you lock yourself into every NFL Sunday, you know that, all right, maybe you do something in the morning. Maybe about 12:45, you sit down. Maybe earlier because you want to watch Boomer on the pregame show. But you sit down in front of your TV. You got your games at 1 o'clock. They moved these divisional round Sunday games to later in the day, kind of replicating what we get on Championship Sunday, where it's late afternoon into the evening. Now, part of that's kind of appealing because now you really have a Sunday. And what makes it even better is that it's going to be like 65 degrees tomorrow. That's why Joe's got a tee time. Even though, again, you should feel a little bit dirty that it's 65 degrees in the middle of January. But either way, a stock full weekend of NFL action. We'll get to your calls about these games. Joe Judge, because it was Joe Judge week here in New York, with Joe Judge being announced as new head coach of this football team, his press conference, which got rave reviews, and Joe and I talked to him the other day. If you want to get into the NBA, I threw it out on the table early. Sure, the Knicks somehow making a phone call about Andre Drummond and potentially a season-turning victory for the Brooklyn Nets last night. And of course, the hockey and baseball is always on the table. Bob Glauber is going to join me at 11. Your call's coming up, 877-337-6666. Evan Roberts till Chris Moore at 1.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.